Welcome back. In our last episode, we gave a subnet its way out to the internet. We talked about public IP addresses and outbound connectivity, how a resource reaches the wider world. Today, we turn that around completely. Instead of connecting outward to the internet, we're going to connect virtual networks privately to each other, without ever touching the public internet at all. This is episode 3, and it's all about connecting virtual networks with peering. Let's start with why this matters. A single virtual network lives in just one region and one subscription. But real workloads are almost never that tidy. You've got different teams, different subscriptions, and shared services sitting in a central network. So you need a way to stitch all these separate virtual networks together into one private routing domain. That's exactly what virtual network peering does. And here's the key idea. When you peer two virtual networks, they start to behave, for connectivity purposes, as if they were one single network. A machine in one can reach a machine in the other directly, using private IP addresses, just as if they were neighbors in the same network. Now, what makes peering so appealing? Let me give you a little memory hook. Think of the letters PBLN. P is for private. The traffic between peered virtual networks stays private. B is for backbone. It travels on Microsoft's own private backbone network, not the public internet. L is for low latency. And N is for no. No gateway, no encryption, nothing extra needed for the two networks to talk. So peering is private, on the backbone, low latency, and needs no gateway. If you remember only one thing about why you'd peer, remember those four letters. Let's dwell on that for a moment, because it's genuinely powerful. For virtual machines in peered networks in the same region, the latency is the same as if they were inside a single network. There's no penalty, and the throughput isn't throttled by peering either. The only limit is whatever bandwidth the virtual machine's own size allows. Peering adds no extra restriction on top. On top of that, peering works across subscriptions, across Microsoft Entra tenants, even across different deployment models, and across regions. And creating or removing a peering causes zero downtime for the resources on either side. By default, one virtual network can peer with up to 500 others. If you bring in Azure Virtual Network Manager, you can push that limit up to 1,000. Enough to build a hub with 1,000 spokes. Now there are exactly two flavors of peering, and the only real difference is geography. Regular virtual network peering connects networks that sit in the same Azure region. Global virtual network peering connects networks in different regions. Both are private. Both ride the Microsoft backbone. The difference is that with global peering, the physics of distance apply, so you get cross-region latency. There are two gotchas worth burning into memory here. First, global peering cannot cross clouds. An Azure public cloud network cannot peer with a network in the China cloud or the government cloud. Second, and this is the classic exam trap, a basic load balancer cannot be reached across a global peering. If you have a service fronted by a basic load balancer, resources in a globally peered network simply can't reach its front-end IP address. A standard load balancer, though, works fine over both regional and global peering. Let me make that concrete. Picture this. Your web tier runs in West Europe, and it needs to reach a shared logging service up in North Europe, sitting behind a standard internal load balancer. A colleague warns you, peering won't reach a load balancer across regions. Are they right? Well, not here. Because the two networks are in different regions, you configure global virtual network peering. And the colleague's warning only applies to a basic load balancer. Your logging service uses a standard load balancer, which is supported across regions. So the design works just fine. If it had been a basic load balancer, you'd have needed to keep it in the same region as the callers, or redesign it to standard. Now here's where peering gets subtle, and this is the most tested part of the whole topic. Two facts govern almost every design. The first fact, peering is bidirectional, which means you have to configure it on each side. When you peer two networks, you actually create two links, one from network A to network B, and one from network B back to network A. The connection isn't usable until both exist. And Azure tells you where you stand through connectivity states. If you've only created the first link, the state reads initiated. Only one side exists. Once you create the second link, both sides flip to connected. And that's the rule. The peering is not truly established until both sides read connected. Deleting is symmetric too. Delete the peering from one network, and the matching one on the other network disappears automatically. The second fact, and this is the big one. Peering is not transitive. Let me say that slowly, because it trips up so many people. Imagine you peer network 1, with network 2, and separately you peer network 2 with network 3. You might assume network 1 can now reach network 3, passing through network 2 in the middle. It cannot. There is no pass-through. Peering does not chain. To make network 1 and network 3 talk, you must either create an explicit direct peering between those two, or route their traffic deliberately through a network virtual appliance, or a gateway sitting in a central hub network. This non-transitive behavior is exactly what shapes the famous hub and spoke topology. Picture a central hub network in the middle, and several spoke networks around it. Each spoke peers directly with the hub, so every spoke can reach the hub. But, and here's the catch, spoke A cannot reach spoke C, just because they both peer with the same hub. That path is not automatic. It does not exist by default. Let me walk that failure through out loud, because it's such a common trap. Imagine an admin peers spoke A to the hub, and spoke C to the hub, and both show connected. Then a machine in spoke A tries to ping a machine in spoke C by private IP, and gets nothing back. The admin insists, everything is peered. And they're right, everything is peered. But peering is non-transitive, so those two separate peerings do not chain into an A to C path. Spoke A has a route to the hub, and to nothing beyond it. It has no route to spoke C at all. So how do you fix it? Two ways. The first is a direct peering. Just create an explicit bidirectional peering between spoke A and spoke C. Simple. But in a large mesh, the number of peerings explodes, which is exactly why that 1,000 peering limit matters. The second way is more elegant. Route the traffic through a network virtual appliance in the hub. You place an appliance in the hub, you add user-defined routes in the spokes that set the next hop to that appliance's address, and you enable IP forwarding on it. This keeps the clean hub and spoke shape, and it lets the hub inspect and firewall everything passing through. This pattern is called service chaining, and it's the standard enterprise approach. Let's unpack service chaining a little more. Service chaining directs traffic to a virtual appliance or gateway in a peered network by using user-defined routes. You define a route whose next hop is the private IP of that appliance in the peered network. One limit to remember. That next hop can point at a virtual machine appliance, or at a VPN gateway, but you cannot route between networks with a route whose next hop type is an express route gateway. And there are two peering switches that control this, with defaults worth knowing. The switch called allow the peered network to access this network is selected by default. That's what lets ordinary hub and spoke machine-to-machine traffic flow. But the switch called allow forwarded traffic is not selected by default. You have to turn it on to let a network accept packets that originated somewhere else and were forwarded by an appliance in the peer. Now let's talk about gateway transit, because it's the key to hybrid connectivity. Gateway transit is a peering property that lets one network use a VPN or express route gateway that actually lives in a peered network. In hub and spoke, this is gold. You put just one gateway in the hub, and every spoke reaches on-premises through it, no separate gateway for each spoke. Here's the picture. Imagine the hub has a VPN gateway to your on-premises network, and spoke A needs to reach on-premises, but has no gateway of its own. You set two switches. On the hub side, you enable allow gateway to forward traffic to the peered network. That's gateway transit. On the spoke side, you enable use the remote gateway. That tells spoke A to send its on-premises bound traffic to the hub's gateway. A few rules. A network can have only one gateway, so a spoke using a remote gateway cannot also have its own. Use the remote gateway can be enabled on only one of a network's peerings. And gateway transit works for both regional and global peering, so the hub and spoke don't even need to be in the same region. A couple more practical points. Because peered networks merge into one routing domain, their address spaces must not overlap. That's a hard requirement. If ranges overlap, routing becomes ambiguous and the peering can't work. Also, name resolution does not cross a peering by default. Azure's built-in DNS won't resolve names in a peered network. For that, you need Azure Private DNS or a custom DNS server, and we'll cover that later. The good news is, you can resize the address space of peered networks with no downtime. But after any resize, you must sync the peers so they pick up the change. Sync after every resize. When something breaks, two quick checks. First, effective routes. If a peering is working, every subnet shows a route with the next hop type virtual network peering, one for each address space of each peered network. If that route is missing, the peering isn't effective. Second, connectivity state. Confirm both links read connected, not stuck at initiated. And one handy trick. If you just want to pause connectivity without tearing peerings down, don't delete them. Simply deselect allow traffic to the remote network. Much easier than deleting and recreating. So let's recap before we move on. Peering makes peered networks act as one, keeping traffic private on the Microsoft backbone, with no gateway, no encryption, and no internet. There are two types, regional and global, and global can't cross clouds or reach a basic load balancer. Peering is bidirectional, so both sides must read connected. And peering is non-transitive, which is why hub and spoke needs either direct peerings or service chaining through the hub. Now peering builds the roads between networks. But which road a packet actually takes, that's decided by routing. So in episode 4 we dig into routing itself. System routes, user-defined routes, how Azure picks between them, and how you force traffic through an appliance. That's the machinery that makes hub and spoke and service chaining truly work. I'll see you there.